Today on Insight for Living with Chuck Swindoll.
God would have us go further and further in our walk, growing in Christ, maturing in the Lord. And each day our goals are higher. Our desires are greater to please Him. He says, excel in that. As you walk, please God by excelling. Don't be satisfied with just a mediocre lifestyle as a Christian. Work on holiness. Cultivate habits of discipline that are good for you and honoring to God.
Resisting temptation is a daily and sometimes hourly discipline. When the enemy leans over and whispers into our ear, oh, don't worry about it. Everyone messes up every now and then. In those moments of weakness, we need to draw strength from the truth of God's Word and His call to lead holy and blameless lives. Welcome to Insight for Living, featuring the very first message in a study from Chuck Swindoll called Staying Pure in a World Gone Wild. Today, we'll consider the process that occurs when lust goes unrestrained, and we'll also hear practical tips for claiming victory. Here's Chuck Swindoll.
Every person hearing me at this moment is married. Your companion will be with you for a life. Every morning, as sure as the rising of the sun, your partner will be there. Every evening, as sure as the darkness of the sky, your companion will be by your side. This companion will never leave you because of lack of support, and a divorce is impossible. You are married for life to this companion. Like it or not, you will be married till death do you part. Your partner, your lifelong companion, is temptation. There is no escape. There is no immunity. There is no exemption. And there is no safe location. Even if you entered into the role of the priesthood in the Roman Catholic Church and lived the rest of your life behind the walls of a monastery, your battle would go on. Your companion would be there and would haunt you almost on a daily basis. This is nothing new. Because it feeds on our curiosity, it continues to tell us what we don't have. And because it depends upon comparison, it tempts us to believe that the grass is always greener on the other side. As one seasoned wag put it, not only is the grass not greener, it's not even edible. But it's there, and the temptation will always dangle the carrot, telling you it is better than what you have, and it is worth the risk. Yield, and you will find satisfaction. This is nothing new. It has been with us since the first fall in the garden. Travel back with me in the time tunnel to 3,000 years ago. The nation is Israel. The city is Jerusalem. The season is spring. The time is evening, and the hour is early. And the place is the roof of the king's palace. It's a quiet evening. A soft breeze blows across the city. And in a rare moment of unaccountable privacy and relaxation, the king is walking on the roof to find some solitude and some cool evening breeze. Behind the palace lives a young married woman, no children. Her husband is away in military service. She is the daughter of Eliam. She's the wife of Uriah. In all innocence, she's taking an evening bath. She is not a sultry, scheming streetwalker. She is a faithful wife. And the man who begins to watch her with increased interest and excitement is about a 40-year-old respected monarch. He is not a sex-starved peeping Tom. He has at least seven wives. several unnamed concubines. He has fathered by now 17 children, so he is not some kind of human animal on the prowl as if in heat. But he's attracted, and he can't take his eyes off her. Roberta Dorr, in her novel, David and Bathsheba, portrays it vividly. Bathsheba pulled off her shift and stepped into the alabaster bowl her servant Sarah had filled with fresh water. She stood naked in the bowl while her servant dipped water with a gourd and poured it over her. Bathsheba stood without embarrassment, even though she had nothing to cover her nakedness. Unknown to her, a man's eyes had been observing, and ordinarily he would have turned away, but it was also unexpected and lovely that he continued to watch. With growing admiration, he studied her loveliness as only half seen through the dried palm branches. Her hair clung in damp curls to her full breasts, and her tiny waist accentuated the pleasing roundness of her hips. As he watched, she stepped out of the bowl and tossed her hair back, making the curve of her back visible. He thought he had never seen anything so beautiful and so graceful in his life. A quiet knock at her door totally changed her plans for the rest of that night and for the rest of her life. Now, understand, David and Bathsheba had never met. If he had met her, she was just one of the many in the streets, and he couldn't even remember her name. But before that night was over, she would have his child within her. She would be pregnant. Let's understand right away that illicit sex is not novel or new. It is not something that has grown out of our society. It has been with us throughout time. My Bible is open to James 1 that describes in clear and briefest terms a downward cycle that is taken by all who taste of this forbidden fruit. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God is not tempted by evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust. The New International Version says dragged away. That's not bad. Every man is tempted when he is dragged by his own lust and enticed. And lust, when it has conceived, brings forth sin. And when the process continues, when sin conceives, it brings forth an existence that is like death. And if it continues, an addiction that is worse than death. Rather easy to analyze a sexual problem in a safe place like we find ourselves today. Bible open in our laps. Lights are bright, no soft music, no sultry temptress in front of us. We're not alone in a hotel room with the television that has available X-rated channels. We're not on the roof of our own home, as it were, looking down on some other lovely lady. No, this is the place to analyze how it all happens. How the secret smoldering fire can burst into a destructive blaze and ruin a home and ruin a reputation and ruin a career and ruin a life. Yes, that bad. While thinking about this in these recent days, I have come up with some simple terms that describe why this kind of thing happens. First of all, and I think there are several steps downward, there is an innocent attraction. Nothing wrong with that. Almost without exception, it's spontaneous. God has given us bodies, and some people have beautiful bodies, wonderful shapes and figures, and keep themselves well attired. There is nothing wrong with that. In fact, it is commendable. And the enjoyment of the beauty of another individual is not in itself sin. And it happens every day. We even compliment others who are not our marriage partners because we think they look nice and it is met in sincerity, and it is taken in the same way. There is an innocent attraction. If that doesn't stop, then it leads to what we might call curiosity. Webster defines it a desire to know, interest leading to inquiry. There was a desire to know more about the person. At this point, comparisons usually take place. And while getting to know another individual, it is a great temptation to compare that person to someone else, often the one we're married to. And invariably, we find things that aren't there in our partner. As one woman has said, I'm expected today to be Mother Teresa, Betty Crocker, Chris Everett, and Cheryl Ladd, all wrapped up in one. And all I really am is Betty Crocker. The comparison goes on, and we find the things that individual has whom we do not know intimately, and we compare those things with the one we do have, and we see something lacking. Invariably, something is lacking. The curiosity then leads to temptation. I don't believe at that point it's sin. Temptation happens all the time, and this is where imagination plays a vital role. But between temptation and the next step, sin has occurred. The next step is fantasy. Fantasy is the free play of creative and uninhibited imagination. Fantasy is mixing desires and wishes with dreams that have often been held in restraint. And one plays out in the mind the actual intimate act of intercourse with the individual about whom he or she was once simply attracted or curious. This leads to lust. Lust is an overpowering desire to enter into the fulfillment of the fantasy. The restraints are removed when lust takes charge. Let me describe for you four restraints that are blown to the winds at this point. First, ignoring of position, reputation, home life, personal commitments, moral standards. There's an ignoring of all of those personal things. All those things you're thinking about right now that will keep you pure, those are the things that lust cancels from your mind. I had a man tell me who was in ministry for many years that when he began the affair with this woman and was involved with her on numerous occasions, that by and by it got to where he could hardly name his own children. A man just told me very recently it got to where he was so addicted to the affair that when he was intimate with his wife, he felt he was unfaithful to his mistress. That's how blinded you get. Second point, blindness to the consequences. You don't think about tearing up your career. You don't play back in your mind how some will find out and how it will bring heartbreak to your children or grandchildren. You cancel all that out, or lust does, whether you do or not. You ignore position and reputation. You are blinded to consequences. A third, you are rationalizing the wrong. You begin to tell yourselves false stories. And fourth, you are burning with excitement to proceed. As so many will say, at that point, you cannot stop. I had an interesting thing happen late this past week. I was making a connecting flight in another city I'll not name to go to yet another destination for a quick overnight speaking engagement to come back yesterday afternoon. And to my surprise, a couple rendezvoused on the plane that was my connection, and they happened to have sat right behind me, and I confess to some eavesdropping. One was on the plane waiting for the woman to join him, and when she walked by, he reached out and took hold and pulled her in the seat, and there began a conversation mixed with all kinds of comments about what they had in front of them as they would enjoy ecstasy together for a couple of nights along with the attending the Super Bowl. It was arranged, and they joked with each other about how each other's mate knew nothing of it. And there was no mention made, of course, of the loss of reputation, of the depression that will follow, of the brokenheartedness when the mate, not if, but when the mate does find out. No talk of that. Of course not. Only the delights of time together. And they could not keep their hands off each other. It was incredibly vivid while I was working on a message on sexual impurity. I had a living illustration going on behind me. And I thought of Solomon's words, "Stolen waters are sweet. Never doubt it. Don't think for a moment it isn't fun." At least for the moment. And lust, when it runs its course, finally leads to the exciting act. And there is adventure, there is ecstasy, there is novelty, there is momentary delight. And not until afterwards does the mind come clear and the fog lift, and all the reality of Monday following the weekend falls on you. It seldom stops with one encounter. Quite often, it begins a process of an addiction, a compulsion. As one man confessed to me, he was at a gathering, and within 20 minutes, he was in the back seat of a car with another man's wife, while the man was still at this entertaining evening. Just incredible. So it is. That explains it. And all these things can be seen and pulled out of, like threads in a sweater, from the David-Bathsheba affair. Now, the common reaction is threefold. Protect yourself, blame others or circumstances, and three, eliminate the evidence. Just as there are night before pills and morning after pills, an abortion will be nothing more than the swallowing of a pill and the death of a baby. But in those days, when Bathsheba knocked and said, "I'm pregnant," it wasn't that easy. It led to deception, it led to hypocrisy, and then it led to murder and family tragedy, and finally, the worst kind of divine judgment. Today, it's easier, just kill the baby. Which, by the way, is one of the subtle tragedies of abortion. It's a simple and quick birth control method, if you don't mind killing babies. It's all part of what is described in this 15th verse as, last word, death. Lust gives birth to sin. When sin is accomplished, there is a strange kind of stillborn ecstasy that leaves you with a twisted mind. A broken relationship in the bond you have in your marriage, and the beginning of the seeds dropped for an addiction that you won't be able to stop if it gets powerful enough. Turn from James to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We want to get scriptural insight from three passages from the pen of Paul under the direction of the Holy Spirit's inspiration. And we want, with each of the insights from these passages, we want to have a lingering warning to take with us. Because we will not always be together like this. The lights will not always be on. There will come times of personal privacy. There will come times of temptation when you are alone, when you are in a place that you consider safe, which could be the most dangerous place of your life. 1 Thessalonians 4. This is perhaps, of all Paul's writings, the most explicit statement regarding porneia, from which we get pornography. It is the word for sexual impurity, porneia. This passage isn't complicated. The explanation is not mysterious. And the command, listen to this, is not impossible. you can do it. Or God mocks us, giving us a command we can't fulfill. You can do it. The first two verses seem to be saying, in your walk, please God by excelling. Finally, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. God would have us go further and further in our walk, which is called the doctrine of sanctification, a big word for growing in Christ, maturing in the Lord. And each day our goals are higher. Our desires are greater to please Him. He says, excel in that. As you walk, please God by excelling. Don't be satisfied with just a mediocre lifestyle as a Christian. Work on holiness. Cultivate habits of discipline that are good for you and honoring to God. And then he gets very specific. For this is the will of God. Your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Understand, most of these people were new in the faith. Some of them not more than weeks old in the Lord. Understand also that there was never an age in all of history where marriage was so disregarded and divorce so easy. You think it's disregarded and easy now. Ancient Greece, it was the worst. Demosthenes writes, we keep prostitutes for pleasure. We keep mistresses for the day-to-day needs of the body. We keep wives for the begetting of children and for the faithful guardianship of our homes. William Barclay adds, so long as a man supported his wife and family, there was no shame whatsoever in extramarital affairs. That's first century living in Greece and Macedonia. And of all things, Paul says to them, secondly, in your morals, obey God by abstaining. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, that you abstain from sexual immorality.
We're confident this new series from Chuck Swindoll will prove meaningful to so many. It's called Staying Pure in a World Gone Wild. And today's message, a plea for morality. You're listening to Insight for Living. Now, to get either the CDs or the audio files, go online to insightworld.org. Or if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Well, in today's technologically advanced culture, it's amazing what we carry in our cell phones. In one device, we have a phone, an address book, web access, even a camera. And now you can take Bible teaching and resources wherever you go by adding the Insight for Living mobile website. You can listen to the broadcast, access study materials, look at video comments from Chuck, and even read the daily devotional. Just bookmark the site on your cell phone at mobile.insight.org. Perhaps you've heard about the new resource from Insight for Living inspired by Mother's Day earlier this month and written about women in the life of Jesus. You'll love the in-depth articles from Chuck, the creative features that coincide, all surrounding remarkable first-hand encounters with Jesus. Chuck?
It was Abraham Lincoln who said, "No one is poor who had a godly mother." Most of us don't have to dig too deeply or reminisce very long to recall the profound impact that our own mother had on our lives. That's certainly true for me, and quite probably for you too. My earliest spiritual convictions were honed and nurtured by my mother. Over the last year, we've been working behind the scenes, preparing a one-of-a-kind resource just for you. It's filled with articles and interactive questions, even colorful anecdotes and personal applications. The subject, Women in the Life of Jesus. Our focus is on New Testament ladies who encountered Christ, like Mary of Nazareth and Elizabeth, and Peter's mother-in-law, the widow of Nain, Mary Magdalene, Jairus and his daughter, Martha of Bethany. How about the woman caught in adultery? These are all powerful stories of grace and compassion, forgiveness and faith. This publication has enough content to qualify as a book, but we've decided to present the articles in a magazine-style format. It's both attractive and engaging, and more than that, it celebrates the impact of real women and the lessons we can learn from their encounters with the Lord Jesus. So please get a copy of the brand new magazine from Insight for Living today, Women in the Life of Jesus. Although it's a magazine-type publication, it has all the practical and biblical content you've come to expect from this ministry.
The publication is yours when you give a donation of any amount. Your gift, no matter the size, truly helps us bring these daily programs your way. The financial demands on Insight for Living are sometimes overwhelming. But it's not overwhelming when you consider the number of people who hear this broadcast every day. A lot of people doing a little can make it happen. And when you give today, be sure to request the magazine Women in the Life of Jesus. In fact, when you make your request, we'll send two copies, one for you and one to give away. There's a couple of ways you can connect with Insight for Living. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Chuck Swindoll's plea for morality continues Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, A Plea for Morality, was copyrighted in 1990, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2011 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.